want to thank him. I want to praise him one more time. Well, guess what? He's given us another opportunity to do that. Did he not say, I'll give you the desires of your heart? If our desire is to praise him, honor him, he sure is glad about that. We're so honored again tonight to have Brother Dean McNeese from Georgia. I forget the name of the town. He'll maybe tell us that before he leaves here. And he's told me before, but I can't remember it. Is it Ringo? There you go. I had it right. So we're honored to have him in these days. And if you're visiting, you'll be thrilled to be able to hear sitting on the Word of God tonight. So just to bask in the Word. Brother McNeese, preach to us, my brother.
Amen. Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Before I turn to the text tonight, I want to say that the Lord sure has been good to us. I want to share two or three needs, Pastor. That's as simple as I do it. And often I don't never share the needs. I often don't feel led. But when I feel led, I share the needs of our ministry. And that's done that for 15 years. I don't sell anything or have fundraisers. I don't. Some men are blessed to do that. I don't. I just feel goofy at the one time I tried, so I didn't try anymore. But it has been a joy to come into the heart of this church. And the Lord has given you all a precious, I'm using that word on purpose, a precious like gold. I'm still working on my gold sermon. But now, he may not know me well enough to know if I'm flattering him or just being sincere, but I'm not in the flattering business. Proverbs speaks against flattering. But I want to say about your pastor that y'all have a precious man of God right here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You better thank the Lord for it. And I feel like you do. I guess the reason I love Brother Gunn so much, y'all can tell I love him, don't you, every night? And Brother Jason and some of these other men. But you can tell they love their pastor. And God will bless, he'll bless the pudding out of you the rest of your life. You young men love this man of God. He'll lay a blessing on you. You'll never get over. That's the truth. And I'm grateful for it. It's a blessing to be a part of it. I'm praying now. A little happy bubble, a little glory juice leaked over last night, and we had some church after church for a good 45 minutes. Two young men from a church down the road. Them boys, God got all over them boys. They'll never forget that. Brandon and Tim, God's called them to preach in power and in glory last night. Oh, wish you could have been here and felt that. Wouldn't it be something the Lord done something so powerful here, it gives revival to a neighboring church. I may take off running here in a minute. I bless his name for it. I want you to help me pray. I'm going to Uganda. I had an opportunity to go in the 90s, and I didn't go when I was a young pastor. And I felt like I missed the will of God just on one trip. I missed it, Pastor. I just wasn't being sensitive. And now another opportunity has arisen. And I know it was the Lord. Man's got two Bible institutes on either side of Lake Victoria. That may be the world's largest lake. Well, I don't know, Lake Erie. It's one of the biggest lakes in the world, Lake Victoria. And a lot of your beautiful tropical fish that you see in aquariums come out of Lake Victoria there in Africa. And he's got a Bible Institute on either side. And then them young African preacher boys, they ain't even got enough money to have their own shoes. I'm going to get to go preach to them preacher boys. They have a Christian school with about 400 little students sponsored by people in America, churches, medical clinic. They got a whole property they bought. And the Lord's going to let me get involved in that pretty heavy. So I'll be going over, we had a date set in October. And then the main pastor I'm going with is my only nephew's getting married. We had to change the dates. The dates are not set at the moment. And I need $3,500 for my expenses to go. You pray about that. The Lord has us living by faith. My daddy was an old-timey Baptist preacher with 6 kids out of the woods in North Georgia. We cut firewood and painted barns on the side. Can I get a witness? And what I'm trying to tell you is my folks ain't got no money. He borrows from me if I ever... Her daddy was a prison guard there at the state prison. She was raised up in a little old my wife. I wish you could meet her. She's a trooper for the Lord. And somehow, the 3 little children God gave us is a miracle. I've been watching every church I go to across the country, and my babies are prettier than everybody else's babies. I don't know how, and I even looked at some of y'all's, and y'all got some pretty youngins, but the Lord made mine prettier than all of y'all's. Now, don't be bitter about that. God does things the way he wants to. Gun, don't get upset. her folks, we both just from the back of the woods, and we've leaned on our Heavenly Father. And I could write a book on the miracles. Oftentimes it's monthly miracles. I could write you a book. I ought to. Glory to God. What he does for us. I've got to pray in $50,000 by the end of the year. I've got to have $5,000 for, we've got an Albania missions office. God gave me a young couple 1 year ago. Exactly. A young Christian couple launched out by faith to come. She's a secretary. He's my assistant. And you'd be amazed at the miracles God done for them. And I said, Lord, I can't meet my own needs. How are we going to take care of this young couple? He just patted me on the head and said, you wouldn't believe it, but I have a little extra in heaven for them too. You wouldn't believe the miracles God does for Caleb and Kim Williams. But anyway, we need 4 to 5 years ago, we set up the Albanian mission got so big. And we're fixing to... We got a man, Brother Aaron Wilson, who was here the other night. He's at 75%. And he's done that in 6 months. Preacher, when a man's raising support by itself, these people may not know, it takes 4 years for a real good missionary to raise his monthly support. He's done in 6 months, he's at 70. When he hits the ground over there, I'm going to need more than 50,000. We're going to be praying in 500,000 and stuff like that. And God's faithful. I know that much. Y'all are supposed to help me right there. And by the way, your job ain't what's taking care of you. I need a little help right there. You ever had anybody rebuke you while they was asking you for money? It's happening right now. Your job ain't what... You don't wake up in the morning and say, I thank thee, old job, that thou hast taken care of me. No, sir. It ain't the J-O-B taking care of you. It's G-O-D. He gave you breath. He gave you eyes. He gave you ears. He gave you a sound mind. God could take his hand off you and your mind wouldn't even work. America's hung up in this spirit of unbelief on all the American church members. All worried about the government. Worried about the retirement. Health care. Worried about the economy collapsing. I was raised with them. What's that one song? Wall Street fell, but we were so poor we couldn't tell. Hold on, that ain't a church song, but it ought to be. I'd sing it in my choir. Somebody said, what's going to happen if the economy collapses and falls down? Well, I'm already living down here. Y'all come on down. And the Lord's good down here on the bottom. Huh? Goofy outfit. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that's America's national sin. Why do you think when God let the heathen invade, he hit them two world what? Trade towers. I'm asking you to help me with my ministry. I shouldn't be chewing you up, but that's just the way it's going. Brother Jason moved on the front row and just a strong spirit came down here with him. What's wrong with old Jay skipping church tonight? What ails him? He's on his way. When he gets here, I'll welcome him. Oh, AJ, he's a good one. Where's Brother Todd? Look at him trying to hide behind his wife. What kind of man hides behind his wife, Brother Todd? And his little girl, he's getting behind his little girl. Six rows back. Scaredy cat. We got another big need we're praying for. We're praying especially. So I want you to pray about those things with me. Preacher, you know, I told the church last night about the warning we got up in Chattanooga. The Russians knocking on doors pretending to sell books. And they're after the children. And they're getting in poor neighborhoods. They can grab those children. We got a lot of Mexican families living up there in Chattanooga. I talked to a pastor friend of mine today. He actually called me. The dear preacher from Alabama. He said, the Lord woke me up violently this morning. Praying for your family. He said, it scared me. What's going on? I said, I don't know. I mean, we're under a lot of pressure from hell. Me and my wife and children are. The devil don't like a man go around stirring up revival fires every week. Would you know them booksellers came back today? My wife. I'm over here and she's over there. But me and the Lord, they come back today to the front porch. I called my friend back and said, I think I know why you're praying a hedge about us. Preacher, I don't know if they're trying to case our place or not. That's upset us. But here's the deal that I made with the Lord a long time ago. I'm over here taking care of your bride. You go over here and take care of my bride. I don't know if he said that to me or I said it to him, but we got a mutual agreement. Prayer works. You know, I got such a godly wife, Brother Gunn. She didn't say anything like, come home, I wish you was here. She knew that discouraged me. You ought to thank God if you got a godly wife. What about that? Prayer works. I'm about to run what I'm about to do. Amen. Got a godly wife. Brother Todd, she's so godly, he hides behind his wife. Do you see him back there on the sixth row? Sixth number of man. That's a bad number, Brother Todd. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 6. It's actually a good number tonight. Hebrews chapter 6. Thank you. And I kind of wanted to do that when it was just us. I didn't want to share them burdens while we were live streaming and everybody. I just wanted to share that with this church on a Wednesday night. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Hebrews 6. Lord, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for sweet mercy, tender mercies. Thy loving kindness. Lord, thy everlasting covenant. Thank you. Help us for a little while. I'll bless your name for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm in Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 11 it says there's full assurance. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. I'm glad we got full assurance. I need more than four of you to be happy about it. I'm glad we got full assurance. And that's repeated in chapter 10. That full assurance. Now in verse, I'm afraid if I read too many verses, I'll preach 2 or 3 hours. These things are loaded. This is a loaded chapter. And come down to verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's me and you, the immutability of his counsel. That is the eternal unchangingness of his sworn word in the courtroom. That's legal counsel. Confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Now, what are those two immutable things? I'm not going to preach this. I'm going to say it. You go study it. Genesis 15. It's the spoken word followed up by the sworn word. He gave his word to Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, I need a surety so I'll know for sure. And God put out a blood sacrifice and swore it in blood. Aren't you glad we don't just have the spoken word? We got the sworn word. He swore it in the blood of Calvary. That's why old-timey Baptists shout. We don't shout because our granny can make nanner pudding. I mean, that'd be a good reason to shout. But we don't shout because there's money in the bank. We don't shout because we got our health. A lot of people don't have their health. We don't shout because everybody loves us. Because if you're walking with God, you're under persecution. I tell you why you don't even shout because you live in America. The luxury and freedom that we have in this generation. We shout because there's joy bells down in our soul. Knowing that the God on the other side of that blue veil has washed us in the blood of his son and sworn an eternal covenant. We shout because our sins are gone. And they're gone forever. And they ain't never coming back. But Jesus is coming back. Our sins ain't coming back, but our Savior's coming back. We shout because we got an anchor on the other side. Ain't got nothing to do with what's happening in this world. John 15, he said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You get Jesus' joy, he ain't too worried about your joy. Your joy will catch up if you get the joy of Jesus in you. Hallelujah. And so, I'm in verse 18. That by two immutable things, the sworn word, the spoken word, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Well, I probably won't be in this text again for some time with y'all. I need you to circle something in chapter 5, verse 7. Same page on my Bible. How about yours? It's chapter 5, verse 7. There's Jesus in the garden, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying. Y'all, I'm going to say this fast because this is another sermon trying to creep in. Y'all just holler amen real good and I think you got it. There may be strong crying in one chapter, but there's a strong consolation coming in the next one. Y'all didn't do quite good enough. You didn't make me happy. Amen. Brother Jason, if you're going to sit down here, son, you got to get with it now. Don't be no holy grunting. We need some holler. Todd stood back there like hiding on the sixth. Watch this. Verse, I said there may be strong crying in one chapter, but if you'll hang around, there's strong consolation in the next. And Pastor, I noticed something. Chapter 5, verse 14. Right between them two is a strong Christian. Chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now there's another sermon, because the Lord gave me a good one last year. It's a good one, I'm telling you. I've shaken it off just then. It's trying to jump in the service on Bible meat. Strong meat. They's eating lamb meat in Exodus. And dragon meat when they crossed the Red Sea. And Jesus gave them fish meat at the end of the Gospels to put them in the Spirit-filled life. And but anyway, there's all kind of meat in the Bible. Now, isn't that amazing? Strong crying, strong consolation, and in the middle of it, he'll make you a strong Christian. Watch this. And here it says in verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I want to preach tonight on three things on that anchor. And aren't you glad that we got an anchor? Amen. And the anchor is the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. Say amen. Real good right there. I said the anchor. It's not church membership. It ain't being baptized. It ain't being kin to the preacher. It ain't in good works. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary's cross. Hebrews chapter 6. I shouldn't even bring this up, Pastor. It cost me 20 minutes in here. But the goofiest thing in the world for some of these people trying to be saved by works, trying to be saved by their own righteousness, and they run to Hebrews 6, try to get somebody to think they can lose their salvation. Well, honey, you better hope they don't read the last half of that chapter, because God is swearing eternal covenants in that thing. All right, leave me alone right there. Now that was a big rabbit trying to get that. Three things about that anchor I want to say. I want to say, number one, the anchor holds. The anchor holds. He said, underline this, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Underline that, sure and steadfast. Thank God the anchor holds. I'm going to say three things real fast. It's not my interest to preach them because it'd take an hour and a half and I ain't burdened for it. But the anchor holds because it's attached to His cross. Amen. And that cross is attached to His character. Right in this very chapter, is it verse 10? For God is not unrighteous. Is it verse 13? When he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself. Is it one of the verses we read? In which it's impossible for God to lie. I'm telling you, he swore a covenant on his cross and it based on his character. And he's holy, holy, holy. There's no fault in him. He cannot lie. He did not sin. He could not sin. He would not sin. He had no sin. That cross, there's a covenant on that cross, and it's attached, that covenant sworn on his character. That anchor holds. They're 2 hours of preaching here. I'm trying to get these happy bubbles off of me. I do better when old Brother Jay, he's anchoring this side over here. Hallelujah. AJ's trying to get here, and Todd's hiding behind his wife. Think if all four of them was down here, this boy. He tried his best not to tell me his name last night, preacher. Oh, I want to tell you something. That anchor holds. Anybody that's ever run and took to the cross, do you see that little, who have fled for refuge? What verse was that? You can see it there. None of who have fled for refuge. Don't that remind you of the six cities of refuge that Moses set up back yonder? Hey, y'all. There was three of them on either side of Jordan. I don't care if you was born under the Old Testament or born under the New Testament. Amen. You got to run to Jesus. Either way, I don't care if you're born under the law or born under grace, you got to run to Jesus. I don't care which side of the tracks you was born on, you got to run to Jesus. The rich man, the poor man, the wicked man, the moral man, they've all got to run to Jesus. That Jordan River, that's his death, burial, and resurrection. Amen. Don't get me started on that. That Jordan, the descender. That's what Jordan means, the descender. That's another sermon. Leave me alone. And on either side, there's three. Studying that thing last year in them six cities of refuge, and it was amazing. They said at every crossroads where there were roads in Israel and the Holy Land, at every crossroads, there was an arrow pointing the way to the nearest city of refuge. I almost ran. Song leader, you need to learn to holler hallelujah. It does good leading singing, but I got to train these two right here. Hallelujah. Glory! Ain't you glad at the crossroads? Every time you've been to a crossroads, there's an arrow showing you how to get to Calvary. My old daddy said to the Christian, my daddy's a pastor, he's a preacher, and has been my whole life. And by the way, there's six of us kids, McNeese kids. There's four of us boys and a girl on either end. And preacher, all six of us are in full-time ministry. All four boys preach, not a liberal in the bunch. That's amazing. That's like a double miracle. It's a miracle God's called us all to preach, and not a liberal in the bunch. That's amazing, ain't it? In this sloppy, agape, fuzzy, wuzzy, Barney the Dinosaur, apostate hour, ain't that amazing? Not a liberal in the bunch. Oh, my. Fled for... That anchor holds! When you come to the cross, you come to a covenant. You don't know why old-timey Baptists shout? Because we know that we know that we know some things. Honey, the world can't... Hollywood can't stand that. They're out there looking for a little wiggle worm on Mars somewhere so they can... that's our daddy. They're dying to have another daddy besides God being their father. Humanists can't stand it. Atheists can't stand it. Agnostics can't stand it. The pagans and hedonists can't stand it in this hour. That there's a little group, a band of blood-washed believers over here holding up a book saying, hey, y'all. I don't know if they're there or not. But there is a God. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is a judgment. Jesus wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God. He was the God-man. He's the mediator. He did die. He went down to hell. He got up from the grave. He ascended to heaven. He's coming back again. They can't stand. Man loves darkness rather than light. They gnashed on their teeth and they chewed on our Savior. They gnawed on our Savior. They gnawed on old Stephen when he preached. Man can't stand it. All of the denominations and religions, they can't stand it. They all them hoping so, guessing so, maybe so, apologizing for the gospel, apologizing for the Son of God. Well, them apostles didn't have none of that little nervous, none of that little apologetic, don't want to offend nobody. Paul said the cross is a stumbling block. The Greeks got to give up their wisdom. The Romans got to give up their power. And the Jews got to give up their self-righteousness. Anybody that comes to this cross has got to fall on it. Or it'll fall on you. And when you run to that cross, honey, you run into a covenant. Y'all got to help me right here. Why do we know that we know? How come I know that my sins are gone? How come I know that I'm God's child? How come I know that He has sworn to me with a word that cannot be broken, that I am His and He is mine? And how come I know that I know where I'm going to end up after a while? And I know He'll walk with me every step of the way. How do I know these things? They can't stand it that we know. The Holy Spirit gives us the Holy Scriptures. And He's moved on the inside. And you need not any man teach you. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. 1 John. 36 mentions of knowing in 1 John. And we know these things. And they can't handle that. They all proud of what they don't know. The evolutionist, he's so proud of what he don't know. I think I'd be ashamed if I was ignorant. Half of them don't even know if they're a man or a woman. Don't get me started right there. And they're proud of it. And how can you not know that that's a baby in the womb? Act like you don't know what it is. Tissue, fetus, some kind of the woman's body. That's a baby in there. These youngers don't even know that. Such a lie. We know. When you come, and I'll tell you why you know. When you came to Calvary, you came into a covenant. I'm going to say this, and y'all help me real good. God didn't promise you anything, really. Not primarily. Now, He gave you some promises, but I need to say it like this. When you came to Jesus, you walked into a covenant, a triangle covenant. Even old Brother Todd, he may run on this one right here. Nice overall.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. When you come to Calvary, you walk into a covenant. And it's an eternal covenant that God has swore to Himself. God the Father promised God the Son what He'd do if God the Son would go to Calvary.
Amen.
Brother Jason, you got to do more than turn red and grin at me. God the Son promised God the Father what He would go and do and accomplish when He went to the cross. God the Holy Spirit observed this transaction as the witness and the agent, and He swore to the Father and the Son He'd go make sure it happened. What they swore to each other. And when you sing, standing on the promises, it's promises that the eternal triune Godhead swore to Himself, by Himself, with Himself. And when you, come here, Brother Jay, put your Bible down. Brother Gunn, put your Bible down. Come here. And when an old sinner gets saved, come here. We got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Todd, you need to get saved. Come here. You're getting saved. Hold hands, guys. You guys hold hands. We got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost have sworn to each other. Here comes the sinner. Come on, sinner. You make a good sinner back here hiding behind your little daughter. Here comes a sinner to get saved. And open your arms and welcome him in, boys. Yeah, yeah, we're going to open arms and welcome you and embrace you. And the Father promises the Son. I told you, if you die for him, I bring him to you. And then the Son promises the Father. And the Son says, I promised you, Father, I'd go buy them. I'd go purchase them. I'd go redeem them. I'd go die for them. I'd go get them back for you. And the Holy Spirit promises to the Father and the Son, I'll work it out, I'll work it in, I'll keep him, I'll deliver him safely. They all swearing to each other, and this old sinner's just in here. He's just saved by the grace of God. He never deserved it. He didn't design it. He ain't sure how it happened, but he's glad. You glad? He's glad it happened.
Yes, sir.
He's saved. And these three gonna make sure he gets home just right. Amen. You know, you bring your Bible and get on the front row and sit by Jason. Oh, aren't you glad that when a sinner comes to Calvary, he walks into a covenant? I don't have time to prove it and show you all the verses. Go home and read Hebrews. Many of you old timers have already read Hebrews. The only thing the book of Hebrews is doing, the writer of Hebrews was writing to them first century Jews to tell them they need to get with the program. We ain't under the law no more. We're under grace. And this is how grace works. That's all it's doing in Hebrews. Telling Jews how grace works. Hallelujah. That anchor holds. That anchor holds. I pastored below Jacksonville, Florida, Brother Waldrop. And when I pastored there, I had several Navy families. Because there's three naval bases and a submarine base up in St. Mary. And there's only one or two now that shutting down all that military. But I had several Navy boys in my church. And you know what them sailors did, preacher? One of them told me. He said, "Preacher, the best anchor is the old cross anchor." You know the old anchors with two arms hooked out to the side? I didn't even know they called it a cross anchor. He's about to run. Yes, I am. He said, "The best anchors are the old cross anchors." He said, "The reason they don't use them anymore," he said, "because they're ugly and they're not modern and they lay up on the deck and get in the way." He said, "They let these little hydraulic cables and drop down some heavyweight anchor." He said, "They got to get four or five of them. Drop them all down, let them down." He said, "But nothing holds like the old cross anchor." And here's what he said, Brother Song Leader. You might shout. I mean, you've been doing polite shouting all the way. I mean, you might do just a redneck shout. You buy him something at Dairy Queen if he does. She's been wanting him to all week. Here's what he said, Pastor. The old sailor told me. He said, "When the storm or the winds pick up and the storm's coming, they throw that old cross anchor out." And he said, "The way the cross anchor works, it'll go down until it hits a rock. It'll go down and it'll until it grabs a rock or it just digs in down deep." And here's what he said. "The stronger the wind blows on top, the deeper them two arms go down." He said, "The more fierce the storm, the more steady the ship, because that anchor goes deeper." When I got news for y'all, that anchor goes deep when them storms go deep. The anchor holds. The anchor holds. Hallelujah. Is it Sister Misty? You might want to be ready to sing something along these lines shortly. Some of my sermons get so good, I got to quit preaching, just start singing. The cross. That anchor holds. Number two, and these last two will go fast. The anchor's hid. Give me the verse, fellas, where it says, "Behind the veil." That within the veil. Both sure and steadfast. Entered into that within the veil. Y'all see it? What verse is it? There it is. Boy, they found it. "Which entereth into that within the veil." Right now, Brother Gunn, Brother Old Saint, we can't see. Everything's behind the veil. Everything that matters is behind the veil. Seems like in the church age we live by faith and not by, which is why the charismatic movement is after signs and wonders. And they got to see something or they won't be moved. But that ain't how the Holy Ghost works. Trust me on this too. This contemporary movement, which is designed to strip the church of everything that makes church, church. They pound you with visuals. You don't see this. You believe this. Faith cometh by. And hearing by the word of God. You can try to move people all you want to. God ain't trying to move nobody's emotion. He's trying to convict their sin. He don't come at you through the senses, any of the five senses. He ain't after your flesh, that's sensual, the five senses. He ain't trying to show you something. This may curdle somebody's milk, but honey, drama teams and big visuals, and I don't mind the screens. I love the way you put the verses up there. But movies and dramas and all this, honey, all these visuals. I got news for you. The church ain't never needed the world to put on a show with the world's technology to have church. It kills church. God ain't talking to your head. He's talking to your heart. He don't need you to understand anything. He just needs you to believe everything. Amen. My generation wants to understand. They don't want to repent. God ain't after your head. He's after your heart. And that anchor's hid. Jesus is behind the veil. Heaven's behind the veil. The blood's behind the veil. The angels are behind the veil. The glory's behind the veil. Honey, we're operating by faith. And the Holy Ghost will give us enough faith to get us through. It's hid. I mean, you got to learn how to believe God. It's hid. I pastored from age 21 to age 29, that one sweet church. Oh, we had revival. I got 7 men, actually getting more now. Some of them's come back around. I got about 8 or 9, getting close to 10 men in full-time preachers, missionaries. Out of those years, I was younger than most of them, that God saved them and called them and sent them. And still reaping fruit out of that little flock, that little field. Little as much when God picked and ordained a boy in 3 weeks, 32 years old. He was 13 when I had him. One of the best ones I had. And in 10 years, he kind of got messed up. But 2 years ago, he came crawling back. He crawled. I'm about to run. He crawled. Grabbed my leg. Preacher, will you help restore me? I got down in the shavings with him. I crawled with him. I just crawled with him, Brother Jason. Who's this? You got a visitor down here with you? Brother, you're a brave man. I would have never come down, by the way. Especially, I see you wearing a Tennessee watch. Oh, that's bad for several reasons. I got down there with him, Brother Todd, and I crawled with him. And about 10 or 12 of the other old brothers, we all just crawled. He cried for an hour. I sat him down. I said, son, front row, 12 months. You ain't gonna live in sin for a decade and everything be right in 10 minutes. I said front row for 12 months and just go to the altar after every sermon. That's my counseling advice, Pastor. Figured if in a year God ain't helped you, I can't help you either. All this modern day psychology. Y'all know it's a bunch of googly gawk, don't you? Y'all say amen right there. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. All this modern day psychology preachers, that's a googly gawk. They're giving the crowd what they want. Modern day psychology. Our Southern Baptist preachers are eat up with it. Our independent Baptist preachers are eat up with it. They ain't no Holy Ghost on it. Everybody's dysfunctional. Everybody's got disorders. If you're normal, you're weird. And you're lying to yourself. Everybody's mind is messed up. Everybody's family's messed up. Adam sinned and we've all been messed up. You don't need to sit around with some fella, the pocket full of papers and the head full of sawdust. You need to get to the foot of the cross and let the Holy Ghost help you. Silly out. outfit. I had a fella majored in psychology. He didn't like that one night. He's a big old man. He come there, "I didn't like that." I said, "I didn't expect you would." He said, "I got a major in psychology." I said, I got 66 books. Tells me you're crazy. He said, "You need to give a little credibility to the modern education, what all we've learned." I said, "The modern education's taking this whole crowd to hell." And then he liked me, and he cooked me some cabbage with sausage in it. And then I told him psychology wasn't all that bad. He said, you got any cornbread with that? No. You know what happened to him? He rebuked me. After that, sir, I didn't back up. I took him in the office and sat down. I was in another man's church. 6 months later, he got to smoking marijuana and got drunk. He's out of church, and his wife left him. That happened 18 months ago. I don't think maybe you ought to be down there rebuking the power of God and trusting somebody who these psychologists had 4 divorces, 7 nervous breakdowns, and not even sure if they're a man or a woman. I don't believe that's where I'd go to get help. Now, you young men better seek the counsel of your pastor. I didn't say don't counsel with you. In the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Just make sure they're taking you to God, not to Sigmund Freud. Freud can't help you. Man stayed high on cocaine for 30 years. You know that? Everything he wrote, he was high on cocaine. Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx and Charles Darwin all come tripping along holding hands about the same time. I got news for you. We all crazy. Adam looked at God and said, "Eve did it." He said, "What?" And the oldest son killed the younger son, and everybody lost their mind, and their family is messed up. Sin's had us messed up from the beginning. The first marriage. You know good and well if Eve would have had Oprah Winfrey, she'd have left his rear end right there. When you throw your wife under the bus and it's God you're talking to, that's pretty stupid, fellas. This thing's always been... I told that young preacher, front row, 12 months. And boy, he'd done it. 2.5 years now. And he's been restored. Got married. Never was married. Got married in the middle of about 6 months ago. Moved to her little hometown, and guess what? 24 people meeting in a beautiful church.
Amen.
Say, "Hey, you moving to town? We needed somebody to come preach." He'd been preaching for a month for him, and I asked him last Sunday night, "Would you pray about being our pastor?"
Amen.
I run that rabbit. That'd help somebody. The years I've pastored, had a precious lady die. Let me see that one. See what time it is. I got to go to Waffle House before it closes. It don't close. There's a woman down there with 3 good teeth, and she's had chili waiting on me all day. All day. It may have been waiting for me for 2 days for that chili. But it'll kill things that ain't even wrong with you. That's why I'm so healthy. Precious lady, she's only 38 years old and she died. I asked her to resign the church, and about 6 months later she died. She didn't know anything was wrong with her, preacher. Turned out she had some real heart issues and fluid. Had 2 boys, Jason, 13, and Bubba was 9. one morning. I mean, the day before, there wasn't even nothing wrong with her. When God calls you out to eternity, you're leaving. And I want to help a lot of these white-haired folk. You're not going until He calls you. Don't let that spirit of fear, old death, come creeping up looking in your window. If you belong to Him, He ain't never coming in. By the time death reaches out for you, God will send that carrying. He'll send them angels. They'll carry you. Death ain't never going to touch you, John 5. You should not see death. You'll never taste death. And everybody in here white-haired, and the devil come around trying to torment you with fear. He can't come and ain't going to come until the Lord sends him. You ain't going to die before or after until the Lord sends him. And he'll come up on your porch and there'll be seven angels that scoot over, big guy. We're carrying this into glory. She laid down on the floor, called her husband. I don't feel good. Called the ambulance. And before the husband could get there from work and the ambulance, she done went to glory. And them two little boys laying on their mama weeping. And that little one, Brother Gunn, he was mama's boy. He was really tore up. At the funeral, there was a dear white-haired preacher. Looked at them two little boys. He said, boys, I don't have any answers for you today. Don't have any answers for you. He said, but I'd like to tell you about my grandma's quilting room. He said, I was raised down there in them swamps. 10 brothers and sisters, 15 cousins. Somebody, I need some country folks save me. My daddy's mama, she was one of 11. Can I get a witness right there? He said, we'd grown up at grandma's house. She had a quilting room in the back of that old house. And said she'd pile us up on the floor, little old youngins. And said the quilt stretched from one side of the room to the other. Said we couldn't see grandma's face. All we could see was her feet, where she was, where she was moving. He said, and I grew up laying on the floor looking up at the bottom side of that quilt and said the underside of that quilt was the ugliest thing. Said there was ugly patches, looked like they didn't go together. There was knots. This looked so ugly. There was loose ends. He said, laying on the bottom looking up, it just didn't make any sense what Grandma was making. He said, but I grew up and got older and I went back to Grandma's house. And he said, we walked back in the quilting room and said, this time I was on the top side looking down. I was in the adult world. And he said, I couldn't see her feet no more. All I could see was Grandma's face. Y'all supposed to be getting ahead of me. And he said, me and Grandma looked down on top of what she was making. And it was the most beautiful handcrafted masterpiece. And he said, boys, right now, we're on the bottom side of this thing looking up, and there's just a lot of things that don't fit, don't make sense, and ugly and loose. He said, but one of these days, we'll get called up to the big world. Amen. And they shall see His face. And he said, looking down, you're going to see how all things work together for good throughout your whole life. And the ugly pieces. Why does death come to our home? Why does disease come? Why does divorce come? Why do disasters come? Why do these things come? God has a way of taking the ugliest things in our life and passing them together. Woo. The anchor holds. The anchor's hid. Like a little old boy flying the kite. And it ran all the way up to the end of his string. And it got up in the clouds. And he couldn't see the kite no more. And his little buddy come along and said, what are you doing? He's holding that. He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, well, I can't see it. He said, well, I know it's up. He said, how do you know? He said, I can feel it tugging on this side of the string down there. Sometimes in a meeting like this, you can feel him tugging from the other side. The anchor's hid. I close on this. Put the verse up there for me, dear brothers, on whether the forerunner for us is entered. Even Jesus. I want to say that the anchor holds. The anchor's hid. We're going to have to live by faith. Can't see his face and can't see what he's doing, but just believe him. And I want to say the anchor's home. Jesus has already carried it home. He's a forerunner. Brother Mike Bagwell said, Jesus is our head. And Brother Bagwell, as only he can do, flopping around like Mr. Magoo. I don't know how he survives a sermon. Hey, Brother O.J. All the real men are sitting on the front row this Thursday. Just stay right there. Just stay right there. Here he comes. He was ready for me, Pastor. I picked on him too much. You're a beautiful man, sir. I've been wanting to talk to you about a smartphone. I love you. Sit down by Gun. Gun needs a lot of help this week. He was ready for me, preacher. Look at that verse. The forerunner is entered. Brother Bagwell said, I noticed something about my head. He said, everywhere my head goes, my body comes right behind it. And for Brother Bagwell, that's amazing because his head goes a lot of places. And his head always goes first. I don't have the energy to act like that. The forerunner's entered. Hey, y'all, he's already made it home. He's carried the blood. He's carried most of the body. 2,000 years, they've been a-streaming into glory. I wish I had somebody. The anchor's home. And we're going home after a while. Split through that veil. The anchor's home. Last Albania trip this year, I've already been to Albania. I've been looking at the sheep on your stained glass window. Nice orange socks there, Brother Harvey. You need to go sit by Todd. He has an orange watch on. Did you know he's wearing this? Okay. She bought them for me. That don't surprise me. These guys are all going to take me out after the end of the week and whoop me or something, preacher. My last trip in Albania. Albania is very poor. All they have is olive trees, olive groves, and flocks of sheep. I even get a little nervous talking about it, but it's a mafia-run country. There's no secrets about it. The Russian mafia controls the capital and the middle. The Italian mafia, the southern part. The Albanian mafia, 16 clan families, the northern part. It's a mafia-run country. And their money comes from, it's all of it. FBI, I tell you that, CIA reports, it's no secret. Pretty evil place. If it's illegal, they'll smuggle it. Forged papers. Weapons, drugs, and this is sad. Children, it's a holding place for all these little old girls kidnapped out of the Ukraine, out of the Philippines, out of Lithuania. They hold them there because they can't get in trouble. There's no authority, there's no government to speak of. And it's a holding place. There's even been secular movies come out in recent years about that. We just go in there by faith. We go in there by the grace of God. And, you know, don't get too worked up about that. Charlotte or Chicago or Cincinnati or Atlanta is probably more dangerous than Albania. I mean, it just all depends on the neighborhood. But them poor people, for centuries, they worked the olive trees and they worked the little flocks of sheep. And you want to talk about a blessing. It's where Titus went. Ancient Illyria. Illyricum. Titus was stoned in the old Colosseum. There, tradition holds. We get to go in there and see them sheep. Brother Gunn, Brother RJ, we get in there. You won't even drive out of the airport 5 minutes and there'll be a shepherd and a flock of sheep. The Lord showed us so many wonderful things. You talk about happy bubbles. Every year I see something with a shepherd and sheep and I cry for 6 months. This year, and I'm talking about the anchor's already home. I'm glad I got a heavenly home and I'm glad I'm going home. This year we saw something, Pastor. I'll tell this and I'm done. We came around a corner up in the hills. And there was the largest flock I'd ever seen in Albania, about 400 sheep. And when they holler, and I know there's some old farmers around here. When them sheep holler, they sound almost human-like. And in Albania, those Alps, there's no civilization out there. Just them big mountains. You could hear them for 4 miles. They holler and their little bells tinkling. Now, I'm going to tell you the story. But you've got to get with me like a soul choir or my story don't work. If you have Lutheran and Presbyterian grandparents, it's going to be a little uncomfortable for you. But I'm going to need you to help me. Because if I have to explain it all, it'll take an hour. But if you get it quick, are you ready? You've got to get it with me. It was the end of the day and the shepherd was standing down there at the crossing. He was bringing them out of the valley. And it was a deep, dark, rocky valley. I said he was bringing them out of the valley at the end of the day to make the crossing. And we learned later, because we went down there and talked to him. He said, at the end of the day, I take them to the Father's house up on the hill. Y'all got to help me. All right, now that was your one chance. No more grace, Spirit. I'm going to tell it again and you act like you're saved. The shepherd was bringing the sheep out of the valley at the end of the day. And he was taking them across the crossing up to the Father's house on the hill. Brother Waldrop, you should have been there. The Holy Ghost sat down on us. We pulled up and stopped. Going to get pictures and give Bibles to them shepherds. And we got out of the van, and I'm telling you, Brother Jason, Brother Todd, the Holy Ghost just sat down on us. 8 men was all crying like babies. They thought we was crazy. Every one of us was seeing something different, but God was blessing our socks off. I was looking at 4 dogs, the shepherd's dogs. I got out and I saw the Holy Ghost of them little servant dogs was taking care of the sheep. And somehow they'd keep one eye on the shepherd and one eye on the shepherd. And he didn't even have to speak to them. He'd do like this. He'd point the rod. And they just knew what to go and do. And when I looked at them little dog, I seen every servant of the church that ever helped me. I saw every little Sunday school teacher. I saw every little church janitor. I saw every precious deacon. I saw every servant of the church. Yeah. I saw. Well, we was just sitting there. And my driver, Brother Jamie Rollins, pastor, he was standing there like this. He tall, slender. Something wrong with him. He couldn't gain weight. Y'all pray for him. Tall, slender. He just looking down through there, squalling. I said, said, what are you crying about? I'm crying about them dogs. We get to be a servant of the Lord. Everybody was a crying and a snotting and a falling apart. He said, I'm looking at that shepherd. We got pictures and video. Said he's just standing at the crossing. He said, I'm going to stay right here till every last one's over. I'm going to see if he stands there for every one of them. I looked down there and I seen the Lord Jesus standing at the crossing. He'll be there! I cried. Two or three things happened really neat. The ones that come on the other side, they gathered up on a little knoll right above us. Just, you could have thrown a rock in it. There's 250 of them right there. We couldn't hear what each other was saying because they were hollering. I'm going to say this and y'all get it. They were, the ones who'd already made the crossing were hollering at the ones down in the valley. It's like, they really was. I was blown away by they were encouraging them because they were struggling. I'm going to put on your socks and run. They looked like they could run better. Just very boring. But they were struggling to get up out of that valley. I mean, they were like coming around rocks and them up there, and there's right above us, and they were all, and they're bunched up, and they go, bar! Hooray! Bar! One of them said, they're having a shouting spell. And then I had a shouting spell. And then ones down there, they'd respond back. And they'd be like, stupid, go, bar! It's like I'm coming. Give me a minute, I'm trying. Bar! Oh my. We sat there. I wrote a 2-hour sermon without pen or paper on the shepherd standing at the cross. He stood right there for every one of them. There's several things to the story, but I'm not going to tell it all. I had my eye on the pastor. I had my eye on one black sheep. And Brother Gunn, evangelists get accused of exaggerating and embellishing. So I pointed him out so nobody said, made it up later. I said, y'all look at that little black sheep. I told a photographer, we carried a young man who graduated from college with a multimedia degree. He had a big old cat. I said, you take pictures of that black sheep. And I want everybody to hear me. I'm watching the black sheep. And when I get back to America, you can't say I made it up. That little black sheep. And guess what? He was the last one over. They all had made it over, and that shepherd never did. He stayed right there with that rod. A mama went over with her little one, and that little, he scrambled up behind her and was struggling right there, and that old shepherd pulled him on. He made the crossing across the little road and scrambled up and reminded me of the thief on the cross. One little old sinner, the last sinner, got in the old dispensation. One of these days, some little old sinner don't deserve it's going to be the last one. God's going to pull him out of hell. And we'll all be on the other side. The anchor's home. I'm glad we got a home. He's already entered. He's our forerunner. Glory to God for those that have already gone before. I got an old praying grandpa, my mama's daddy. He wore overalls, chewed pigtail tobacco. Children, don't chew tobacco. And he worked the garden and dug wells and preached. He was a circuit riding preacher. He's on the other side. My daddy's mama, little old saint of God, little old country woman. All of her sons made preachers. Most of her grandsons made preachers. She's got great grandsons made preachers. She's on the other side. She got the Alzheimer's the last 2 years. And all she did, preacher, was put on dresses and coats and try to go to church. One night they got her, my cousin Mitch, out in the driveway at 3 o'clock in the morning. They had baby monitors and TV screens set up so she would never hurt herself. And she was out in the driveway. Had on 3 dresses and 2 coats. And Mitch, who's called to preach, got out there, "Grandma, where are you going?" She told her a little different this time. She didn't die. She died a little after that. She said, "I'm trying to get to the meeting." She said, "They're right over there." I'm quoting. She said, "There's Mama. And there's Papa." She said, "Don't you see him, Mitch?" And then she said something to the RJ. She said, "There's the Lord Jesus, and he's wanting me to come on over." It's the only time she said that. They're up there. "Wherefore seeing we all," Hebrews 12:1, pop it up there. "Wherefore seeing we all circumpassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Bye! We've made it to the other side. Keep it coming. Don't quit. Don't give up. Hold the faith. Hold the flag. Hold the front line. Keep it coming. Bye. They're already home. They're calling us home. Whew. I told myself I was only going to preach 30 minutes tonight. And I did. Twice. Back to back. I can't help it. The Energizer socks showed up and I had to keep preaching. Oh, I'll tell this and I'll try to hush. It's too easy to have church at Fletcher. Whew. I can't hush. I know you ain't worried about it. I ain't either. But I don't know what time that woman clocks out at Waffle House and she dipped chili better than the one with all her teeth. Somebody slapped me. That wasn't right. When I was a boy, Pastor, my daddy pastored in the hills of Tennessee. And we go down the road, there was a precious old couple, Sam and Della Young. He was an old-timey deacon. Mountain people. He had 2 head of oxen. They won the blue ribbon at the state fair every year. He had mules. They lived on the side of a hill. They went to the Bon Argies Baptist Church down on the Conasauga Creek. Bon Argies. That's in the Bible. That's the name for the Sons of Thunder. When you go to a church that they named after the Sons of Thunder, you know you're serious. Bon Argies. He died. He went on to glory. We used to go up there, me and my little brothers. We'd go, it's a mile down the road, but we'd ride our little bikes down there. And go in there. And it was old timey. We'd just walk in, holler. Screen door was always open. We'd just holler. Whenever you think about it, we just went in. I'd go down there with her and, we'd watch The Price is Right, Bob Barker, and I'd look at the funny papers. She had an old black pot-belly stove in there, and she usually had cornbread on it or an apple pie. Whew. We'd sit there, and that's the only thing I ever seen that on TV, Bob Barker. That's where I learned to give an altar call. "Come on down!" I thought you were supposed to be excited, but I walked in, I was probably 13 or 14, come in that back porch, and she had green beans hanging on the clothesline, leather breeches. Amen, neighbor, leather breeches, old-timey green beans. And I said, "Mrs. Young," just hollered out, and I heard her crying. "Mrs. Young," Brother Gunn, I was just a boy, I guess that's dumb. I walked on in the kitchen. She's standing there crying. She said, "Come here, son." And she had a little black cassette tape player. The one where you mashed, you know, the tape pop up. And she's sitting in there And it was her and Sam singing. She said, the last time we went to church together, me and him sang, and this is it. He'll hold my hand. She said, that's the last song we sung in church together. Someday when I've traveled my last mile here, I had to stand there by her. She had an arm around me, and I was twice tall as her. She just a crying, but she was in there having a Holy Ghost. It wasn't sad tears. It was Holy Ghost tears. She said, last thing he did in this world, he raised up on his bed. Hadn't moved for about 4 days. Raised up on the bed and looked at all of us. He hadn't talked or moved and started singing that song. She said, he sang it and laid his head on the pillow and he went to heaven. Someday when I travel, I'm just going to stand in the kitchen with her for a minute. My last mile here, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over death's sea. And he'll hold my hand. Are you supposed to get blessed by your own singing? I don't know the rules there, but it's happening. As over this river I go, and then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven, I know. I don't remember the words, but I'm going to sing it anyway, and y'all help me if you know it, just because I mess it up. My bark shall sail safely, though the waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll still the rough waters when by and by I'm crossing that river so wide. And he'll hold my hand as over this river I go. And then safe I'll be in beautiful heaven. I know. I skipped the verse, didn't I? I want to see Jesus and saints of yore. While the ages shall roll, I want to see Mother and another something, something in heaven, the home of the soul. And he'll hold my hand as over this. I'm glad we're going home. I'm glad we got a home. Sister Misty, come on to the piano if you don't mind. Is that all right, Pastor? Come on to the piano. I learned what that bark was, hanging out with them sailors. My bark shall sail safely. Is there any old navigator nautical men, any old sailors here? That bark, whoever wrote that song knew. The bark was the little boat. When the big ship came into harbor, but was only letting off one or two, they called that little boat the bark. They said it, and the captain always got on it. Because the most dangerous trip of the whole voyage, he said, was the last little part where the water meets the shore. It's rocky, dangerous waves. That's where you can get hurt. And the captain would make everybody on the ship wait. And he'd get in the little bark and take them over himself. And drop them off and come back and they'd continue on with their voyage. Hallelujah to God. The Lord laid that little message on my heart tonight. I'm glad that we have an anchor. I'm trying to hush. I can't hush, preacher. Go in them Roman catacombs where the first century Christians lived by the thousands because the Roman Empire was a killing them. Two things were carved on the walls. I've been down in them Roman catacombs every year. And two things. The old cross anchor and little drawings of the shepherd with the sheep on his back. They're everywhere. Them first century Christians down in there, and they had anchors, and the shepherd was carrying. Y'all hear them Roman Catholic priests try to tell about all that on the little tour. I just start preaching from the back usually. That ain't what happened. I quote scripture and get in trouble. Oh my. I'm glad we got an anchor. I'm glad it holds. It may be hid. Why do you have to have that surgery, young man? Why little Sawyer? What about Brother R.J. and Misty's little girl? They love things. We lay on the floor and look up at the bottom side of that quilt. They're, God, you face some sorrow and heartache, can't you, preacher? You lay on that floor and look at the bottom side of that quilt. It don't make sense right then. But that anchor, the harder the wind blows, it just digs down in there. It holds you. Glory to God. I know I preach an hour every night, y'all. I'm amazed you come back. I'm glad you do. I can't help it. He's too good. I can't play church. I don't even know how to do that. I want everybody to stand. These altars are open. We've been coming around praying on them every night. Y'all just do whatever you want to. Are you going to sing one? Sing, sis.
Beyond the borders,
yes.
Yeah. Of time,
yes.
There's a beautiful land. The word of God, its glory unfurls. And by the grace of God, I someday will call it my home. and I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. My
one mighty the Lord in the night, done what God told you to do. And God, He's been here with us. Never leave us nor forsake us. You can be saved just a minute. Miss Penny comes.